Hi, everybody. Welcome to Full Court Press. My name is Wesley. Joining me today is Rabbit and JB. We've been gone for a few weeks. Sorry about that. If you only watched the Christmas games, there's a few things that have been happening. If you missed, the Lakers still suck. Westbrook's still angry. Rubio, Omari are back in. Love is gone. But a lot more has happened. But first, here's JB with the headlines.
Thanks, Wes. First up, news that will rock the dozens of Cleveland Cavaliers fans worldwide and my fantasy team. Cavs center and general pest Anderson Varejao will be out for the remainder of the season after it was revealed that he had developed a blood clot in his lower lung. The mophead Brazilian, who was leading the league in rebounding at 14.4 per game, was initially expected to miss 8 to 10 weeks for a knee injury, but now it's a little bit more intense than that.
How do you get a blood clot from a knee injury? It's interesting. It was in his lung, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like some post-surgical thing where just after surgery, you're really susceptible to that sort of stuff.
Yeah, okay, I read that. And he can't fly, apparently, the pressure on his lung. It's super dangerous. He could even die.
Yeah, he's on blood thinners and everything. It's pretty intense.
Gnarly.
Poor Andy.
Yeah. He was dominating, leading the league.
Strong medication, bed at 8:30.
Yeah.
You know.
He was leading the league in rebounds, wasn't he?
Slowly, you know, you're not charged as what.
No sex for Varejao.
No. Yeah. No, he's bedtime at 8:30. Your libido's gone. What else?
No more rogue Brazilian ghetto puss.
Totally.
And in other injury news that's also fist-fucked my fantasy team, Atlanta guard Sweet Lou Williams also gone for the season after tearing his ACL in Friday's game against the Brooklyn Nets.
Nasty.
Lou Williams, who has the best hair out of any guard with the surname Williams, was having a typically cracking year, putting up Joe Johnson-esque shooting numbers and helping the Hawks exceed expectations a little bit. And guard rotation in ATL is looking a little sketchy now. They'll definitely miss him at the end of games. How do you see the Hawks going from here on in?
Well, he was a big part of their offense. Josh Smith, obviously, is the key there. And he's been on, like, you know, they suspended him a few weeks ago, didn't they, as well?
Yeah, one game.
So they lost Lou.
Atlanta always surprised me how they're just this mediocre team. I don't know how they win so much because they're not big, really. They don't have a sort of designated scoring guard now. Williams is out.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're always sort of... And they always second round playoffs as well in the last few years.
I think now, though, they always had someone to bail them out at the end of games, whether it's Johnson and Williams. They don't really have anyone else who can create their own shot. I think they'll sneak in, but I don't think if anyone was fearing them before this, they're definitely not fearing them now.
No.
Yeah, and they, like you say, they don't have that huge score, that fourth quarter score. And you saw that when they played against the Bulls and they were held to.
Well, they couldn't score in
something
any quarter
gross.
There. Oh, it's despicable. 58 points
Yuck.
In a game. Horrendous.
Oh, I saw that. 20 and a half, apparently, wasn't it? They only scored 20 and a half?
Yeah, in the first half.
Brutal.
It was so gross.
Brutal.
I mean, that's a one-off.
Did you watch
but...
that game?
Yeah, I tried to.
Oh.
Oh, it was terrible. I had to cover my eyes.
Yeah.
It was grot. Well, here's one for you, Wesley. Looks like the Suns might be able to guarantee fun, but definitely not able to guarantee employment, as they've decided to amicably part ways with head coach Alvin Gentry, replacing him with longtime NBA vet Lindsey Hunter, who I swear, he was in uniform a week ago.
Yeah,
I swear,
fully.
Every team he's on the bench for every team.
Got this image of him throwing down for the Pistons or something. I swear it was last week.
Yeah, loves towel waving, but now he's coaching. But Alvin joins Mike Brown, Avery Johnson, and Scott Skiles in the unemployment queue this year. And Wes, seeing as though you're the resident Suns, tragic. How do you feel about it? You think it's a...
The catfish is gone. and basically, I think he's a great coach.
Yeah, I like him.
You know, their team pretty much sucks, but...
They're 13 and 20.
Yeah, what sealed the deal is they played the Bucks, and the Suns haven't lost against the Bucks at home in about 25 years, and it was a close game, but they lost. And what do you know? Just after that, fired. So it was kind of a parting ways, as told.
Yeah, how does that work? And that happened with Skiles as well. They didn't technically get fired, but they both
Well, I think it
decided.
Comes down to if you're a coach and you had a winning record and all of a sudden you're in last place, it doesn't really look good on your resume, you know, having a series of losses. So you might as well cut your... losses.
So what you
and
you think
not
just,
have that.
They just give him the sort of the option to walk.
Yeah, and I don't think he really was that upset because what are you going to lose another 20 games? Yeah. That doesn't help anybody. I mean, if you're going to get another job in the NBA, you know,
I think
he's
when
got
he
a great record before that.
Yeah,
when he re-signed, it was, you know, they were what, conference finals?
Yeah, I remember Kobe slapping him on the ass in that game, that
huge
2 years
game
ago.
Six.
Yeah.
So he probably didn't sign up for the rebuild, yeah, and it all just sort of fell apart. So like, you can understand. I wouldn't want to coach him. They
I think he'll get picked up, though. Mm. Yeah, they're awful.
They are horrible.
Yeah, no offense.
No,
but
no it's
suck.
Not. It's it's gross.
No Dragic.
The
no
only,
Magic there.
Yeah. the only person I think's really playing awesome for them, just on a side note, is Shannon Brown. And we'll get into the Lakers in a little bit, but there's a couple players that have moved on to the Suns or the Clippers that I think if the Lakers had them now, they'd be a completely
Sixers,
different team. But
perhaps.
We'll get into that.
That we will. Okay, also, the NBA All-Star Game starters were announced late last week with very few surprises. The East will trot out Rondo and D-Wade at guard with Melo, KG, and LeBriz joining him in the front court. Out West, Kobe and Chris Paul, the guards, Durantula, Dwight Howard, and Blake Griffin rounding out the starting five. So with the starters sorted, Jeremy Lin safely out of the conversation where he deserves to be.
Yes.
I want to throw it out there. Who absolutely has to be in the All-Star game on the bench, do you think?
I'm going to take Westbrook, 100%. That's no surprise to everyone,
yeah.
But stats don't lie.
How do you feel about DeAndre Jordan?
Terrible.
No,
no
way.
Never.
Not
tripping.
Not a
Who's
chance.
Your backup center? Well, I mean, even though it's not an official position. So
yeah. I'd have David Lee in front of him in a heartbeat.
Yep.
That would be a really fun All-Star game, watching him get sick rebounds and pass.
Well, he's done it before.
Well, now Love's out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It won't happen, though.
He was an All-Star in the East once.
Mm.
And, you know, it was a treat. Elbow jumpers and rebounds.
I mean, the whole point of the All-Star game, it's a showcase event, right?
Yeah.
So you want explosive showcasing.
You want Westbrook,
players,
dude.
But it's also a reward.
Yeah,
you know, you can't just have DeAndre Jordan in there because he's 7 foot tall and can jump out of the gym.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Put him in the dunk comp.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm telling you why I want Westbrook. Hold on.
Yeah, let's hear it.
He's averaging 23 points and 8 assists, 5 rebounds, and playing 36 minutes. He's got the longest active streak of games played in the league. 340, I think.
Mm.
And he's got the most outrageous shirt style in the league. So imagine what he's going to bring to Houston. Just
what's
saying.
With the weird wrinkle
just
on
saying.
His right eye? Like, I'm why does
sure
that...
that.
Have you ever seen
foot?
That? Yeah, it's not a crow's, though. It's like a little... It's just
oh no,
it's
he got thought it was he got cut. Twitch. He got injured.
Ah.
Yeah, injured.
Yeah, wow.
He got injured this year.
Did stitches. You guys see Westbrook messing with the mascot from Denver the other night? Rocky.
So good.
Apparently, if Rocky hits a half court shot backwards, the whole stadium get free cheese dip or some shit like that. So Westbrook is coming out of a timeout and Rocky takes a shot and Westbrook just goaltends it, not once but twice. It was so good, getting booed, everyone hating
and
on
it
him.
It looked like it was going as
well. Yeah,
the
free
like
cheese,
going.
Free cheese. And Westbrook says hell no.
Wow.
Spewing.
Yeah.
Well, I reckon I'm going with Steph Curry. I love six shooters and he's playing out of his mind.
So
he's hitting
game.
So many threes. He's shooting a higher percentage on threes than twos, which is just out of this
45%.
Yeah, amazing. So he's going crazy. And it's just awesome to, because we missed so much of him the last couple of years. It's awesome. I love his style of play.
Yeah.
And it's great that Golden State are relevant.
I'm so stoked.
And so they released the starting five. And then how much longer do we have to wait until we find out who the back bench is?
A few days, isn't it?
No, a little while. Yeah, because the coaches have got to vote. And yeah, they tabulate it and all that
voting
sort
process.
Of malarkey.
Who did you want
to
see?
Well, it's not really about who I wanted to see. I thought about this. And for me, I think there needs to be some sort of rule that if you're not at least 50-50 by the time that the All-Star game comes, you're not eligible for the All-Star game.
Like health-wise, you mean?
No, no, like you're a winning record. So you haven't won at least
500
games. I think it's stupid. Like, and I'm kind of saying this about Kobe Bryant. Like, I know he's the best player on their team, but your team sucks. And even though you're valuable for your team, who cares when you're not winning? And I think there's a lot of other guys that maybe like a Curry or something like that could be on there just to add to Kobe's repertoire of Dirk didn't get his start
either. Leading the league in scoring.
Yeah, I know, but who cares when you're not winning?
It's individual. So he's rewarding individual players. You're the best 10, best 15.
He received more votes than anyone. So
yeah.
I think everyone cares.
All right, last for the headlines.
Yes, in news that is sure to wake up Sean Kemp from his cocaine and hamburger-induced hibernation. The Sacramento Kings majority owners, the Maloof brothers, have agreed to sell 65% of the team, which is their share plus a minority owner, to a Seattle-based group who plan to move the franchise back to Seattle and call the team the Supersonics.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge news. Yeah. Sick.
It's great.
Rabbit, you're fucking pretty great into it, eh?
Yeah, I just remember watching that doco, Requiem for a Team. It's on YouTube if you want to check it out. I think it also goes by the name of Sonic Gate or something
like
Sonic's that.
Yeah, Sonic Gate.
Amazing documentary. Really shows what goes down when a team is uprooted, how much Seattle fans were gutted.
They all had to get into soccer. I mean, that's pathetic. And nobody wants to
do
that.
They got no hockey there or anything. Mm. Do they have an NFL team? NHL team, sorry? Yeah, I don't know.
Probably,
anyway, whatever.
They have a lot of rain and seafood.
I think it's great. I don't think anyone's really going to be that upset except the Sacramento fans and KJ, really. KJ's super upset. Kevin Johnson's the mayor of Sacramento, by the way. And yeah, he's doing all he can. He has till March 1st to put a counter offer in. But I don't see anyone really dissing
it's too popular.
I think it's stupid. Sacramento doesn't really deserve it. Sacramento, you know, by the state of California, was given the responsibility. If you're mayor of California, like the governor was mayor, his office is there, and he has to work there. Mm. It's a dry, deadless, baseball fanatical city, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
The only thing that they have that you could go, is the Deftones are from Sacramento.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Other than that, nothing. There is nothing.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I think they will play better in Seattle. The weather's nicer, but, you know.
Whatevs.
There's plenty of teams in Southern California.
That's right.
Literally an hour and a half away is Golden State.
Yeah.
And then 3 hours from there is fucking Lakers.
Yeah, and Clippers.
And Clippers. Clippers should go down to San Diego. Yeah. Regardless.
I don't think there's any doubt that there's a big market in Seattle and they're screaming for it and they deserve a team.
Totally.
Whether or not you agree with how it went down with OKC leaving, what I find a bit ironic is that Clay Bennett, who was the instigator of taking the Sonics to Oklahoma, is now the leading the committee that approves the decision. He and a few other NBA owners have to approve it, which they will, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's such a sexy choice.
Yeah,
totally. And like, it's all harking back to that. I think it's like Glory Day, the 90s thing as well,
totally,
because,
yeah,
you know, we might be seeing
logo,
the Charlotte Hornets.
Great colors.
Great fans.
Anyone in Australia has to like the colors.
But
green,
also,
gold.
They're getting...
Wait, what's the problem?
They're playing at Key Arena for 2 more years, and then they get a $500 million new stadium.
Which they need. That
yeah,
was the
totally.
Big stick, yeah. sticking point initially.
Plus,
as
a
well.
Lot of these, like you say, 90s players. You know, Dominique Wilkins goes to Atlanta games, calls them occasionally. You know,
yeah.
It's a great opportunity for McGarry Payton, Sean Kemp.
Yeah, well, Payton's
Shrimp,
been
go
super
there.
Instrumental
yeah.
in
he's
this.
He's in that doco. He's super proactive.
Yeah, well, it's definitely going to be better than any Quails of like...
Quails.
Is it the Quails?
The Quail? Or
the Pelicans.
Pelicans, sorry.
yeah.
Pelican. Fucking Pelicans.
That's terrible.
Oh, we got to talk about something really quickly. And speaking of 90s, I'll use a 90s movie reference, but there's been a couple things that have happened in the last few days that have made me just sick to my stomach.
Now I'm angry.
The first one was Sean Marion getting fined $25,000, and I don't even like Dallas, for remarks apparently about the ref. You know, before that, you've got the whole Kevin, you know, Garnett and Carmelo Anthony confronting each other and all that. No fines, no anything.
Melo was waiting in the car park.
Yeah.
It's a suspension. He missed a game without pay.
Mm. A game without pay. So what does he get paid a game, I wonder?
Oh, he'd be clearing
it's
a
ridiculous.
Million or something like
per
that.
Per game is more than Seinfeld?
No. What does he get a season? Like 20-odd million? So it'd be like a quarter
82.
Of $1 million.
Yeah, close
yeah.
to.
They love handing Hectic. Out fines. For me, Hectic. You know the movie Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone? Yeah,
was Rodman in, wasn't Rodman in
no,
that?
No,
Wesley Snipes.
Double Impact.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Yeah. Come on.
So the city of L.A. in the beginning of the movie is really crazy and rough, and there's drugs and violence, kind of like the NBA in the late 70s. And then he gets unfrozen, and it's this super euphoric, happy, almost Christian Goodwill Hunting.
Gross.
Super happy. I don't know how to describe it, NBA. And, you know, a lot of good has come out of that, but sometimes I think it's a bit ridiculous. I'm just going to read both you guys exactly what Sean Marion said to get fined.
I thought you were going to read us an excerpt from Demolition
Man. what is your boggle? No. Okay, here we go. It's this is exactly what Sean Marion said. It's hard to beat anybody when you're playing 5-on-8. Mavs small forward Sean Marion said, "A not so subtle referee to Durant's 21 free throws attempts, all of which he made. That's nuts. Some of them were fouls. Some of them were questionable. But it is what it is." Mm. Boom! $25,000 for that?
You forget, like, Adolf Stern, mate. He doesn't stand for that shit.
He really
doesn't.
But it's
ridiculous. It's so crazy.
He's right. Marion's right, but you got to know you're going to get fined for that. He'd know
all
that.
He said is, you know, it sucks because Durant got 21 of his points from free throws. Mm. The refs were, you know, a big part of that. And
superstar calls.
It is what it is.
Superstar calls.
25,000.
It's nothing new.
It's hard to advocate it because they're players and they're getting caught up in it, and it's easy to get emotional. But at the same time, if they're not critiquing the refs, they're the closest ones to it.
Yeah.
Like, who can critique the refs if they don't?
And not only that, it's not like he was saying it to a ref. He was just saying it to one of the media people that asked him a question. It's not really...
Yeah, but he's saying it to the league because he knows it's going in the media.
Yeah,
when you're talking to
the
media,
he's representing the league. That's
yeah.
fair enough, and that's why he got the fine. But, you know, there's no swear word. There's no attack. There's no singling out. There's no discrimination. I don't understand what's wrong with that. And sometimes it's a little overkill, and we saw that again with the Lakers game against Toronto. Steve Nash... Canadian lover, a Canadian man. There were more Lakers fans in that stadium than Toronto fans. I mean, they just were there to enjoy the game, enjoy the Lakers. And when the Lakers call a double tech 3 minutes before the second half.
Oh, they get called. Dwighty got called for a double tech.
And
that was his second.
And
he got
ejected.
It's
the second one, and everyone's there. Can you imagine if you sat courtside and you paid a couple grand to see, you know, the Lakers, and the star player goes after the first half?
Yeah.
Fuck you, ref.
I thought
fuck
it was,
you, NBA. Well, that's what I got to say.
Dwighty
sorry.
Got,
it just frustrates me.
I hear. It's okay. It's going to be okay.
But you shouldn't bend the rules. And there we go, because he's Dwight Howard.
But you could... I mean, if they showed a couple replays of him, and their arms locked.
Yeah, it was way soft. It was soft.
Oh, God.
And the first one he got the tech for was he went baseline and went around, and he got fouled. He definitely got fouled, and he just went, what the hell, to the ref. You saw him. I didn't know what he said, but he gestured with his arms. Bang, tech foul. Mm. I think... And Bagman and I were talking the other night. I think Dwighty does get the raw end of the stick sometimes.
100%.
Same with Shaq as well. Like, because they're so big, so there's this mentality in the refs that, oh, he's massive, so he can sort of take it a little bit more, you know?
Yeah. We're going to just talk a little bit about LA because so much has happened over the last 4 weeks. And I think everyone, when we kind of went away on the break, expected them to really be a top eight team by now, and they're not. And it was so much fun to watch the Lakers lose, and
I think
now
everyone's
it's
happy
just really sad and depressing and frustrating. And so we're going to just get into a couple reasons why. So we've had a new coach who can't do anything more or less. They haven't really even lost super close games. They've lost, you know, between 4 and 11 points most games. So we're just going to talk, you know, they've brought up issues that Kobe can't play good D as much. I am 100% convinced that Gasol is playing injured and has been since he's come back.
Yeah, but define injured, because Gasol's a bit of a handbag.
Yeah, he is a handbag. But
he did get concussed pretty heavily, and he couldn't pass a...
But you can see it in his...
But, like, you know, 5 years ago, he would have been, like, Band-Aid and back out on the court.
Totally.
He had a bloody nose.
Yeah.
So but you can see it in his spring and in his legs and his knees. He just doesn't seem to have that kind of energy in his bottom half.
We just found out today, he scored 25 last night, his best, you know, output in ages, and now... D'Antoni's come out and said he's benching him now. Mm. He's coming off the bench. That's how we're going to roll for the next.
Yeah. Well, who knows? D'Antoni's got to do whatever he's got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't.
Well, he wants him at center. It makes tons of sense because you see when Gasol's in the low block one on one, he's got a bunch of moves and that's the best. You shouldn't have to worry about making tricky passes.
I think everyone was trying to get Howard and Gasol to do this awesome low post team up shit, and it just didn't work at all.
Yeah, but I still think it can in stretches. You know, you've seen them do it, play high low, and it works really well.
Kerr said something good the other night. I was watching a game, I think it was the Toronto game. When Dwight's on the court, he has to spread. He has to, in essence, be a sort of a spot up shooter to give Dwighty the lane. They have to spread the floor heaps. And you don't really want Dwighty, you don't really want Gasol sort of sitting on the wing putting up 20 footers. You know, he needs to operate down low. He needs to get the ball on the post. He can pass out of the post, or he can come mm-hmm. to the free throw line and get that jumper. He's got a nice mid-range jumper there, but you don't want him to sort of hovering on the wing like that. And when Dwight is on the court, I don't know. But it's weird because Bynum and Gasol worked well together back in the day. So you kind of go, well, is it based on Howard? But then I was sort of, I'm a big Dwighty hater. You know, I think he's a bit of a handbag, but he's not getting as many shots this season. His rebounds are up. His points are a little down.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's really on. He's not getting as many touches. Well, we were talking about him.
I think there's a level of pressure that we don't really understand that exists when you play for the Lakers. And I think you saw it a lot with a lot of bench players over the last 3 years that would play for the Lakers, came from other teams, were explosive, energetic, and scores, and would just suck for the Lakers. Thinking of Shannon Brown, especially.
Matt Barnes
sucked for the Lakers.
He's ripping playing now.
Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he played great for Orlando.
Yeah, and he did. It could be the Kobe factor, man.
Mm.
It really could be the Kobe factor.
I like looked at that a lot because just watching the games, I always felt that Kobe was, you know, being really detrimental to the team at times. And I was looking at the numbers trying to support it with anything, and that doesn't help. He's like, he's putting up the same numbers as when they were winning championships in 01, 02.
Yeah. Mm.
So it doesn't really make any
leading
sense.
The league in scoring,
and like you said, he got more votes in the All-Star game than anyone else. So he's still the most
favorite.
But
like in saying that, they in those championship LA teams, they go into the big dog early, get him established, get the bigs in foul trouble. They'd open it up. Same thing even when Bynum was there.
Yeah, they
would do it.
They
and then
early.
He'll come and save the day.
You're right.
And I just don't think he's getting everyone going, and these last couple of games especially, he's shooting so much and really poor shots.
Yeah, like really
the lane's
like
all closed up and totally he can't get in there and make
triple
plays.
Fakes and then doing a gross fadeaway.
Yeah. 3 of 12 for
and,
three
and,
the other
and
night.
Getting going with 8 minutes left in the game, you know, and like, oh, Kobe hits, you know, 2 threes in a row with 4 minutes left. Cool, now they're only down by 11.
And you see like the games they won against Milwaukee and Cleveland, you know, fair enough that both of those teams are pretty.
Yeah.
But you know, the pattern was the same. He was going out of his way to find Howard in the block.
Yep.
They were working it. They didn't really need Gasol at that stage. Earl Clark was on. Guys were hitting their perimeter jump
shots.
Who's
been great, by the way, Earl Clark.
Yeah, Earl Clark's playing out of his mind.
And not including Jack Nicholson. Do you think a lot of LA people don't really care because the Clippers are doing so well and everyone's just jumping on that bandwagon a little bit?
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah, no.
LA fans are LA fans. They're brutal.
Because, you know, they've been pointing fingers at the defense, and rightly so, because it's like been a shambles. And Dwighty, since, you know, in the last half dozen to 10 games, looking heaps more spry, challenging shots. And then, you know, like there's been a lot of talk about Kobe picking up the primary ball handling in those games, shutting down Kyrie Irving, and then going, yeah, this is how it's going to work. Kobe's got to play defense. But he got pants by D-Wade the other night.
That,
he got properly...
And what a good game that was, just from a fan point of view, like watching... Yeah. Here's your measuring stick, LA, Miami, and they got anything they wanted inside. Even with Dwighty on the court, they were so impressive.
I think it boils down to the fact the Lakers' defense sucks.
It does.
Nash
but
looks
why does
horrible.
It suck? Dwighty's like a million-time defensive player of the year.
Yeah, but it's too late by then. It's not just inside.
So the rotations suck.
Yeah, a lot of it
Nash
was like
is
fast
getting
breaks.
Confused and lost constantly.
Right. Okay.
He's not rotating properly.
What about World Peace, you know? He's a defensive player.
And he's constantly getting in foul trouble as well.
So
he's
you see what I mean, though? There's all these good things there. All the pieces are there. At the start of the season, we were like, they're going to be great, you know, they're going to be like 1, 2, or 3 in the West.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense, like you said, on paper.
Yeah.
All these different players are there, the pieces there. What is this? It's like a virus or something going around LA that's just fucking...
The Kobe virus.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, they can't get stops when they need it.
Yeah.
And it's really hard, especially when you've got Dwighty and his free throw problems, which have lost them a couple of games this year, to be honest.
Just quietly, you can't put up an air ball from the stripe with a minute 50 to go down by 2 against Miami. You can't do that. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, that's something.
Well, everyone's enjoying beating the shit out of them. And, you know, the Lakers have spent the last 20 years just beating everybody, basically. So it's just so weird to see. And nobody has any remorse.
So
no one has any answers either.
No. And you notice Kobe used to just walk out all frustrated. And now he's like, see ya, bye, shaking hands with everyone.
He doesn't seem to care that much because he's getting his.
No.
You
and
know?
Like you say, Howard says it's not fun playing in LA. And everyone always used to say it was a huge speculation. You know, Howard doesn't, you know, he's not a champion. He doesn't want to win. He's not aggressive. He's smiling all the time. And, you know, if maybe that's how he enjoys playing basketball.
I saw an interview the other
lots
day
of smiles,
and he just said it's my, you know, it's my release when I'm out there. It's my sanctuary. I want to enjoy myself. I want to smile when I'm out there. And that's totally and opposite
allowed.
To Kobe.
He's
and
playing, he's allowed. He's playing great.
Yeah. I 17, him, averaging like 17 and 13 rebounds. It's
so
money.
A big issue or a big result is the trade deadlines are about ready to hit. And there's a few things that are going to happen. Nash obviously can't go anywhere unless they trade him. Kobe's not going to go anywhere. Howard's going to be done by the end of the year, so they're not going to really get anything for him. So it looks
they
like
they got to trade Howard or do something, I reckon, because he might walk.
Well, he's going to walk. So
do you think
what are you going to get?
Yeah, but that's the question.
Well,
will he
what
walk?
Are you going to get for Howard now for 4 months?
A lot of pieces.
Months?
Well, if he plans on staying wherever you trade him, if he commits to staying there, then you get a lot.
Mm.
So you,
yeah, but really, anyone think he's going to stay?
I don't think.
I never thought he was going to stay.
That's no. it.
I don't know.
And we don't need to speculate where he's going to go, but he's not going to stay, so you trade him and get a couple little pieces.
Get a lot of pieces.
And so you're not going to be able to get what you want for Gasol at this stage.
I think if you're going to get rid of Howard, you keep Gasol.
And I was looking at Gasol's stats, and his stats across the board are down. I mean, he was injured for a while, but he's not performing as well. But they're, you know, he's 250 pounds. He's 7 feet tall. And the scariest thing is, out of all this shit that I'm reading, he was born in 1980, so he's only 32. He looks like he's 132.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
He's so greasy.
He's only two. It's just he's 32
looks like he's
years
been to
old.
War
His
back.
Face
looks like a war veteran.
Yeah. I don't know why if I'm like overtly optimistic about this move to the bench and having him play heaps of center, but if today was any indication, he scored 25 points.
Yeah.
You know, he's so good. He's
it's
such
not
a talented
so much
player.
It's not so much like, you know, oh, he's on the bench. He's on the bench. Because he can still play as many minutes, you know. It's just who he's playing with. And I think if D'Antoni gets that right, then perhaps they can make a late run. But what was that stat you told me the
Yeah, well,
day?
Like the, no team has made the playoffs in the West in the last few years without getting to 45 wins. And so LA, as it stands, is 17-24, which... My math's a bit shit, but I think using my brain, I've just figured it out that they need to go 28-15 the rest of the way.
About that,
I don't see it.
28-15.
It's not impossible,
not
though. That's
the next
a winning.
28 games
it's a winning
the
record. You know, that's something that you'd expect from them at the start of the season.
But then you look at who's in the West, and they're Houston in eighth, and they're 5 games behind Houston. And you think, you know, maybe they can win five more games in Houston down the stretch.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? And the teams above them aren't really looking that threatening.
I just something's got to change. Something's got to change big time, you know, for them to get...
Changed big time, though. They got rid of their whole coach.
Yeah.
That's
well, they need a streak.
Change.
They have to get on a winning streak. They have to get in rhythm. They have to have players relishing their roles. And
they keep spicing it up. They haven't had a consistent score off the bench all year. And so, like, now it's another experiment. It's like a fifth experiment, this Earl Clark starting thing. But
I think, yes... Steve Kerr was saying a lot in the last game that they just don't have an identity. They don't have...
They don't have Steve Blake. They need him. They need the Blake machine.
They don't really know what they are or what they do well. They just know that Kobe scores a lot
of
points.
It's a lot of stagnant offense, you know? It's the ball sticks.
But is this,
it
is
doesn't
the offense
move.
Stagnant because the defense isn't there?
No.
You know, is it because
they're
there's never there's n- I don't see any fast
they're
breaks.
Scoring.
I don't see any explosive.
Like the offense, the numbers they're putting out a game is fine. It's who's scoring, how they're scoring, and I think that breeds confidence into the rest of the players.
Yeah.
And they're not getting.
And
that,
another
you know?
Player, just quickly, that's playing great now that he's not for the Lakers. Sessions is playing awesome for the Bobcats.
Yeah, his plus minus is like one of the worst in the whole league. So he's putting up numbers and they're getting fucking smoked. And he's a bobcat. Enjoy that.
It's a cat now. It's just cat.
But I read
this
on.
Soon.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, bring it.
Pelican. One interesting thing about the Lakers I was reading is that they've been playing at such a fast pace since D'Antoni came over, and how they've gone in games. The faster they play, the more likely they are to lose.
Yeah.
So it almost suggests that D'Antoni may not be the right coach.
You need
for this
a 20
team.
Second offense, not a 7 second offense.
You know, where's Phil? I don't know.
Nash isn't going to push it that hard. He's already done that when
it's
he was good.
Alvin Gentry over there. Works with Nash. Let's just go.
So did D'Antoni. He was the king of it with Nash.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's just sum it up. What do you think the biggest problem is, Rabbit?
I think it's chemistry, and I think it's...
Offensive or defensive chemistry?
Defensive, and I think it's the Kobe factor.
The Kobe factor and defense.
I can't come up with anything else.
Yeah, I can't help but think that Kobe, the way Kobe plays, isn't the right way for this team to win games.
Mm. It's his team, though.
Yeah,
it can't be.
Like
it
you said, who are you if you're not winning?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I'm 100% in the way my thinking is, which is Gasol is secretly injured and their defense sucks. And I really like what you said about D'Antoni and the fast pace. It does not work for them. They've always been a half-court team since 2008. Mm. They're not a explosive Wade LeBron kind of team. They're bring it up. Let's do something sick. Gasol does a Euro turnaround, fade away, and makes it. Or, you know, Kobe shoots a three. So, it's not getting any better.
Yeah, whatever.
And who thinks they're going to get into the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't think so. But,
no way.
Yeah, you know, it's super tough. I want them to, though. It's so much more compelling if they do.
Well, here's a team who you wouldn't have thought were making the playoffs start of the season. Golden State sitting in fifth, y'all.
Yeah, well, let me just run off.
Fuck that. No, let's do it. Golden State, 25-15. Yeah, you got to hear this.
Well, let me just tell you what the top eight is right now, just so you know. Oklahoma City, LA Clippers, San Antonio, Memphis, Golden State, Denver, Utah, Houston for the battle, Portland, Minnesota, and Dallas. Underneath that, who cares? And who cares is Lakers.
They're one game in front of Sacramento. That is so disappointing.
And New Orleans and Phoenix. All right, now, Golden State.
Golden State.
A bit young, don't you think, and missing their center?
You want a team with chemistry. That's look no further. They don't have Bogut. He's gone. Brandon Rush did his ACL at the start of the season, or only a couple of games.
Yeah, like
in.
Second game in. Yeah. Bogey's been running
full-on
pace.
Contact?
No, contact? Just running.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
You know, Sam was here, we could give him shit about Rose, you know.
And there isn't a player contact, Rose, on Golden State with a chip on their shoulder. They are a very much team-oriented player.
Steph Curry should be an all-star, like Bagman said. 20-6, he's shooting 45 for three. You've got Mark Jackson, who can coach. He can coach, man.
I'm Mark Jackson.
Hand down, man down. Mark Jackson owning. Klay Thompson, rookie, come out of nowhere.
Second year,
averaging 15 points a game. Don't forget David Lee, he's a double-double machine. They're all doing their roles super well. And then Jarrett Jack off the bench. Defo in the conversation for Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah, I think he's the best backup point guard in the whole league.
And that's...
He's playing great.
All of them have their role there well. They all step up. Kyle Landry, Harrison Barnes, they can hurt you in a lot of ways. I love the way they play.
It's so pretty as well. And they can climb out of holes so quick with their shooting. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
They're young. They've got belief. They're playing some pretty inspired ball. And they've got Steph Curry, who's come into his own now, leading them. So you've got a guy who will take the shot at the end of the game. You've got a guy who will step up when it matters. Mm. And you've got a guy who knows when to make the right pass to get his teammates going.
Yeah. As long as he remains injury free.
Yeah, well, granted.
Curry hit three threes in less than 3 minutes in the game the other night.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you know, that's so ice cold.
I love the way Golden State are playing. And if Bogut can come back, I don't know if he's going to be back this season.
Well, he's running, Chris.
Yeah, I don't know. They're going to wrap him up in cling wrap, aren't they?
He'll be coming off the bench starting with maybe, 8 minutes, 12 minutes?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think they're going to take it. Time. Well, you see, if they make the playoffs and get bumped in the first round this year, they're overachieving. So I don't think they're going to go crazy trying to get Bogut back just for the fun.
And they tried it at the start of the season, remember? And he got injured again.
Yeah. More proof that ex-players make great coaches.
Yeah,
true that.
Whatever Mark Jackson's done down there, it's worked pretty good.
He's removed any
ego.
Yeah, it is. You leave your ego at the door.
It's fucking cool.
It is very noticeable.
It's great, and he loves the Lord Jesus.
Does
the
Lord he?
He loves
really?
Christ.
That sucks. Yeah.
You know, guys, 3 weeks ago, if I said Dallas are going to be in the top eight teams, you would have laughed at me.
Still laughing.
Yeah, I'm counting.
Other than Mark Cuban, nobody thought they were going to make it.
They haven't.
Dallas. Well, they're almost there. Dallas lost 10 of the 11 games. They had no Dirk. And Vince Carter wasn't really performing. They looked gross, really. And then, boom! They won 5 of the last 6 games, including a massive OT game against Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And Diggler's so now they're
playing a bit better.
Yeah. Well, it's going to take them a while.
Yep.
And now they're currently in 11th. And they're basically, you know, in contention with the Rockets and the Trailblazers. And I think those are two teams they can beat, especially the Trailblazers, who, you know, can just blow you away and then lose by 20.
Yeah.
You know, they're so inconsistent. I think that has a lot to do with a rookie point guard starting for them.
Lillard. They got Collison. Yeah. That's a good pickup, Dallas.
I think a lot of that has to do with, like, New York. There's a lot of older guys on the team, like Elton Brand, like Vince Carter, Sean Marion, Nowitzki. Chris Kaman isn't a baby, and just kind of proving that lack of hair is also equally as damaging as Gasol's dominant facial features.
Chris Kaman is the most hideous-looking person in the whole league.
So is his game. I don't like it either. He can board, I guess.
But yeah, for me, with all these great players around it, the X factor in the team is Collison. And I say that because he's a young point guard that has a bunch of veterans around him. So he needs to be, you know, he has to have the smarts of a veteran and hustle and outwork and play ridiculous defense more than any of those guys that probably won't switch it on unless somebody pisses them off, you know, they're close to a playoff game. Or whatever it is.
Yeah, I like your angle there. I'm just hoping that he can learn the way Dallas way pretty quick. You know, learn to be where Nowitzki wants him to be. Whether he can deliver the ball to Dirk when he needs it in the post, in the clutch.
Well,
he's filling
the shoes of Kidd.
Yeah,
which is pretty huge because he was a massive part of that team, and like the way he plays is a lot different to Kidd.
Oh, big time.
I think they really needed that steady hand to, you know, like you said, get the guys the ball where they need it to be. Plus, he hit that ridiculous one-footed, one-handed three, which is one of the craziest shots I've ever seen in my life.
But they trot out Collison, Mayo, Marion at the four, maybe.
Vince Carter.
No, his Carter's not starting.
Yeah, no, Nowitzki and Kamen and Marion.
And Marion.
Three.
So they're big up front. Mayo and Collison's nothing to, like, blink at. You know, that's a pretty good team on paper.
It's a great
team. Whether they can put it together,
well,
I don't know.
Like I say, it's a vintage team.
Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit before that, you know, the Rockets and the Blazers are kind of above them, two positions. So their next three games, their next game they play the Spurs, which is going to be an interesting one. And then after that they play the Suns, which should be a gimme. And then the third game they play, which is going to be January 29th, they play Portland. So if you're going to watch a game, I really would keep your eyes on that one.
And so we've got one more team out of the West back.
Yeah, well, like at the start of the year, I predicted that the Nuggets would finish top four in the West. And at the beginning, it looked like I was a complete moron. But it's starting to look good now. The Nuggets won 7 of their last 10, including that huge game against OKC last night. I really think they're starting to put it together. They had a pretty crazy schedule at first where they played like a bunch of games on the road. They've played 24 games on the road now compared to 19 at home. So still like a favorable schedule for them.
Don't you feel though with the Nuggets when you watch them, everything has to click at the right second for them to win? Like every time they get a good win, it's like battling back, then they're down, then they're back up, you know, a ridiculous steal at the last minute. Everything seems like a struggle with their team.
I think once they figure out how they want to close the game and they get their end-of-game rotation set, because they mix it up a lot now, and you saw in that game against Oklahoma City, when it's put on Lawson to try and go and win the game for him, I don't think it works.
No,
like, he's a hell of a player, but I don't want my 5'10" like, point guard shooting over anyone.
Waiting till 5 seconds to shoot the ball or to make your move
on
the ball. It's,
you know,
if I
was them, like, Iggy wasn't in the frame in that game last night.
He normally
Brew
would
was
be
playing
but,
well.
Yeah, Brew was
but
shooting.
They've got, you know, they can go small with Fareed at center, and I think another huge thing for them is having Wilson Chandler come back.
Such a great pickup.
Yeah, because they can play so many different ways now. He can shoot on the perimeter, and also I think if they get the ball to Gallinari in that situation and let it be known
totally.
That you know you're 6'10", you can shoot threes, you can get to the rack, you can put it on the floor, you can make passes.
He's got Euro smarts.
Yeah, definitely. Shit mutton chops, but everything else is pretty good.
Should go to him more. And I think they haven't developed that yet where they know they need a closer, or they know we got to run shit for Gallo, or at least let something happen where he can create his own shot or a pass.
Do you,
you
think
know?
It's weird that it's not Iggy? Like,
Nah,
because he does have some heroics.
It was for Philly.
Yeah, that's true. But like,
I don't know if it ever was for Philly. I don't know. He's the king of finishing or making something out of nothing, or doing an outrageous play every 5 minutes or so. But you're not going to go give it to Iggy. You know, he's gone for 25. You know, and 4 or 5 from the three. And
he's a defensive player.
He's just a sort of a really good all round player. But he's not. I don't think he's got the.
Well, he had that huge moment in the playoffs last year against Chicago, where he came up with the ball, hit the free throws to win the game.
Yeah.
Because he was aggressive and attacked the paint.
Totally.
That was great. But you know, in saying that, they played a lot of offense defense last night.
Yeah.
And I probably feel more comfortable having Dre Miller out there running the show.
Mm. They got a lot of weapons. Yeah.
Maybe having Brewer and Chandler and Gallinari.
What about McGee? Give it up for McGee.
Dude, I was looking at him play. His shorts are so fucking huge. He looks ridiculous. Dude, and he's got his spandex underneath his massive gangster shorts and his huge jersey.
He's the funniest NBA player I've seen in a long time. Yeah. He does the dumbest shit sometimes, but then he'll turn around and send someone into the nosebleeds or vicious throwdowns. You know? You just, when you say, get him off the fucking court... Bang! He does something, some sort of incredible tip jam or something. Yeah. You go, oh, okay, well, that made up for that. He's always making up for that, you know? Mm.
But they don't trust him.
If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and just Google McGee's top 10.
Yeah, Shaqt and the Fool.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's totally amazing.
But yeah, I'm liking Denver. I think if they can sneak into the top 4, no one wants to play 4 out of 7 games.
Mm. Just quietly remember at the start of the season, we were yelling at people, don't get on Denver's bandwagon, stay off it, we know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Remember that?
That's right.
Well, I think there's a pretty big bandwagon now. They're sort of proving that they're going to be in the playoffs.
I still don't think they're going to do any more than they did when Carmelo was playing for them, which is maybe make it to 7th or 8th place.
Oh, dude, Melo took them to the Western Conference Finals a few years ago. Remember that team with Birdman and...
Birdman. Speaking of, really quickly...
Birdman, he's back.
Did you hear?
He did a 10-day trial with the Heat. And did they sign him? Or it's still going?
We're in the 10-day frame still.
Yeah, are we? Okay. I don't reckon they need him for shit. They don't want another fucking 4 or 5.
There's clearly some
problems
with Joel Anthony, because they just can't seem to get him.
It's sort of like the same player, but I think the Birdman's probably a bit more complete.
Can you see him in a Miami uniform, just with the tats and the mohawk?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably better than Baby Blue. I don't know.
And you can't say baby around Chris Anderson, remember? Can't say that word. It's not cool. Non-PC.
It was funny, though, when we were watching that Miami-LA game the other night, and you were, sort of scratching your head going, how the hell are the Lakers still in this game? And it was pretty much a second unit with Anthony, with Ray hasn't been playing great. Lewis has been a bit of a myth.
Battier.
Norris Cole's a little bit suspect. Yeah. You know, the second unit for Miami, you know, a little bit sus. But anyway, that's
I think,
subject.
they want... You know, everyone's always screaming for Joel Anthony to play more because it makes sense for someone who can rebound and block shots. But he's got those stone hands. Yeah. So I think if they can turn him into Birdman,
but
at least
you
kind of
got that with Haslam, don't you?
Not in the same way. He's not a rim protector. He doesn't
Haslam
block shots.
Haslam isn't, or Anthony isn't.
Haslam isn't.
Haslam's like a mid-range jump shot and occasional tip jam.
So you can go Haslam and Anthony. Or Haslam, sorry, and Birdman.
Haslam and Birdman, I think. I just think they want more of a presence on the glass without sacrificing so much on offense, which, you know, they might get that from Bird. Okay. It'll be good to see him back.
Yeah. I like him.
Yeah, I got time.
He's money.
He's more interesting than Joel Anthony.
He's a disgusting looking man. That's all I know. Okay, well, that about wraps it up for All Things NBA. We'll be back with another episode next week on All Things NBA and NBL. If you'd like more information, please go to our Facebook page, Full Court Press. Until then, see you later.
Put that in.